work is ended and I cross the swelling tide. When the bright and glorious morning I shall see, I shall know my Redeemer when I reach the other side, and his smile will be the first to welcome me. I shall know him, I shall know him, and redeemed by his side I shall stand. I shall know him, I shall know him, by the print of the nails in his hand. Oh, the soul-thrilling rapture when I view his blessed face, and the luster of his kindly beaming eye. How my full heart shall praise him for the mercy, love, and grace that prepare for me a mansion in the sky. Through the gates, to the city, in a robe of spotless white, he will lead me where no tears will ever fall. In the glad song of ages, I will mingle in the light, but I long to see my Savior first of all. I shall know him, I shall know him, and redeemed by his side I shall stand. I shall know him, I shall know him, by the print of the nail in his hand.
Hebrews chapter 11, it's the chapter on faith, as most of you probably know. And that's how we're going to see him, because of our faith. And we can see him in the pages of Scripture now. And as we look at the substance of faith this morning, we're going to see conversion of faith, then the commendation of faith, the comprehending of faith, the confirmation of faith, characters of faith. We'll look at four of those. And then the country of faith that God has for us this morning. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for all that you have prepared for us. And Lord, we think about Christianity and how it is certainly a religion or a relationship or faith. All the other religions in the world have things that people must do in order to gain favor with you and be pleasing to whatever God of that religion. But Lord, Christianity is the only one that is by grace and faith. And Lord, we thank you for all that you have done for us. We certainly can do nothing to save ourselves. But Lord, we see in Scripture examples of faith and those that were pleasing to you and those who have been promised a heavenly country, as have we. And Lord, we pray that as we look at this chapter on faith today, that you would increase our faith, that we would learn to trust you more and more each day. In Christ's name we pray, amen. We first of all look at the conversion of faith, and we see that faith deals with the future. It says it is the substance of things hoped for. And so we look into the future, and there are things for which we place our hope, and hope is a wonderful thing to have. You know, sometimes here on earth we hear people talk about having no hope. It's a sad thing when the doctor comes in to the family, isn't it? And a family member is there and he says, "I'm sorry, there's no hope." You know, and just the feeling of helplessness when there's no hope. But God has not given us a spirit of fear. He has given us a hope. And so when we look to the future, we know that we can enter the future with hope and not despair. And so faith is a wonderful thing that provides conversion for us. We are converted. We're saved by faith. But also it deals with the past. It says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so we can't see Calvary's cross. We weren't there when Christ died there for our sins. But we see it by faith. We read it in God's word of what God has done for us. And we believe everything that the Bible says about salvation and how we get it and what it does for us. And so we can't see all those things. But faith is the substance of things hoped for. And so therefore it deals with the present as well. It is the substance and it is the evidence. The word substance there is the Greek word hypostasis. It means a foundation. And so the foundation of our Christianity is faith in Christ there. Hypostasis literally means to place or set under, and thus the word foundation for that. And so the underlying basis of Christianity is our faith. And without a foundation, there's no building. You first establish the foundation. And so the substance of our faith, the substance of our salvation, the foundation of it is our faith there. And then after we're saved and that foundation is established, then we begin to build on that faith in Christ. But not only is it a substance, it says it's the evidence of things not seen. And so faith is not, as we sometimes say, blind. It's not a blind faith. It's not a shot in the dark, you know, and a wishful thinking. Hope in the sense that the world uses that term there, that we just hope it's right. But when the Bible talks about hope, that is a confident expectation based on what God has said. And so the proof, this word evidence, is a word that has to do with the title deed of a property. And so whenever we put our faith in Christ, that is a substance. That is something real. It is something that is a foundation, and then God begins to build on that in our lives, and that's the proof that we have eternal life, that we have been converted, that God has saved us by faith. For by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves. And so faith provides conversion. Well, we see also the commendation of faith in verse 2. For by it, that is by faith, the elders obtained a good report. And so we see that this good report is earned privately. This good report is earned by doing. Now, salvation is not earned by doing. Salvation is by faith. But here, this good report is by doing something after we are saved. And so in the book of James, it talks about works and how works become a demonstration, an evidence of the faith. People can't see our faith. They can see the results of our faith, the evidence, excuse me, of our faith. But not only do we see that it's earned privately, it's obtained, but it is expressed publicly as a witness, or a good report is the word here in verse 2. The words good report is often translated witness, and it is the Greek word martyrio. We get our English word martyr for that, because people were martyred for their witness for Christ. And so here, it's by faith that we obtain a good report, that is a good reputation before others. Some people will say, it doesn't matter what other people think about you. It only matters what God thinks about you. Well, part of that statement is true. It does matter what God thinks about you. And it is more important of what God thinks than what people think. But if people say it doesn't matter what people think, that is not a scriptural teaching. It does matter what people think about us, because we represent Christ. And so therefore, if we're going to have a good reputation, if we're going to publicly express our faith in Christ, Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works." So it's important that we have good works that men may see them. And then it goes on in this verse and says, "And that they will glorify your Father which is in heaven." So we're not having works expressed publicly in order to get a pat on the back or have people talk well about us, but we're doing it as a good report to God of the faith that we have in Him, and we're giving a testimony of Him that anything that I am and anything that I do, it's God who's done it. And we give Him the glory, and there's the commendation of faith. Well, there's also the comprehending of faith. It says in verse 3, "Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God." And so it's through faith that we understand what God does. He addresses creation here in verse 3. We believe in creation, and we believe it by faith. Do you know those that believe in evolution also believe in evolution by faith? Because they weren't there to see evolution occur. They couldn't have been, because it didn't occur. So the faith that we have is different than the faith that they have. And the difference is the object of it. Our faith is in what God has said, that He created the worlds here. But not only do we have an understanding of the work of God, we also have an understanding of the Word of God, what God says in verse 3. It says, "We understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." And so the Word of God is inspired. And what God says about salvation is accurate. What God says about creation is accurate. I don't believe that a person can be saved and deny God's word at the same time. And for a person to believe in evolution, he has to deny God's word. Now, he might believe in evolution for a little while, but if he gets genuinely saved, the Bible says, "If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away." So the old thinking that he had about the origin of the universe is going to change if he's saved there. And if he holds on to that false belief of evolution, that's going to be a witness of a bad report instead of a good report, as we saw earlier there. Because when God saves us, we believe His word. We believe what He says about creation. We believe what He says about salvation. We believe whatever He says, we take Him at His word. And that's what faith is all about. Well, there's a confirmation of faith as well. In verse 4, it says, "By faith Abel, he offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous." And so we see what Abel did when he put his faith in God. It brought some activity there. And so it says he offered to God. So whenever a person gets saved, when he puts his faith in Christ, it's not just a mental acknowledgement of who God is and what God has said. It's a life-changing event that produces some offerings to God. And here we see that Abel offered unto God there. Remember the story of David and Goliath? When David goes before Goliath, one of the statements David made was, "The Lord hath delivered thee into my hand." And whenever he made that statement, hath delivered is past tense. So David says, God has already delivered you into my hand. So why did he need to go and fight Goliath if God had already done it? Well, because his belief, his faith in what God said was already accomplished. David went and he offered something to God. So we see the faith that he had, that God had already given the victory, because he put that belief into action and he did something. And so we know that we're not saved by our actions, we're saved by faith, but a genuine faith, a real and living faith, produces action. James talks about the devils that believe, they have faith, but there's no godly actions that follow that because it's a dead faith. And when Christ saves us and we have a living faith, it's a faith that brings new activity into our lives, but also it brings something else. It brings righteousness in verse 4. It says, by which, that is by faith, he obtained witness that he was righteous there. The works that we do bring our reputation. The faith that we have brings righteousness. There's no amount of righteousness that we can earn by our works. It's our faith that generates righteousness there. Cain refused this, and many people refuse it today. Abel is the example we have here, but Cain refused and paid the consequence there. It says that Abel obtained a witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. And so Abel had a witness that he was righteous, and it was God himself. And if I ever have to go to court, and if I could have God appear there in court and be my witness, that'd be a wonderful thing, wouldn't it? Well, that's the witness that we have. When God is a witness to our faith, whenever we get saved and we trust Christ as Savior, God is there, and he witnesses that. And here it tells us that faith not only brings activity, faith brings righteousness, faith also brings a testimony. It says that he, Abel, is dead, but yet Abel continues to speak to us. He continues to share a testimony with us. Now, many people prepare in this life for retirement so that they will have the income necessary. Some people prepare for their kids' inheritance to make sure that their kids are going to be able to have things after we're dead and gone. Some people prepare by purchasing insurance, long-term care, in case they need to go to a nursing home or something like that. People prepare for those things. But what about preparing for a testimony after you're dead and gone? Think about preparing for a testimony that will live on in your family, a name for Christ. And so here it says that Abel, even though he's dead, because of what he did by faith, it is still a testimony for God. And so as we think about living out our lives, whether it's 70, 80, 90 years or more, we want to live it out to a testimony that's going to follow us. So even after we're dead and gone, we can have a witness for Christ. How glorious would that be, to be able to witness for him even while we're still in heaven? There would be a glorious thing. Well, we move on to the next thing and we see the characters of faith. Well, we saw one with Abel already, but we're going to see four more, starting with Enoch in verses 5 and 6. It says, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and he was not found because God translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And so we see Enoch, and we see that word translated several times there. And he had this translation. It says before his translation. And after our translation, it's too late to build a report, a good report. But before his translation, he had built a good report. And after our translation, after we're gone, the books are closed. We can't add any more works to our good report here. But he had this testimony after his translation. The word translation there means to change place. And so what happened to Enoch one day, as we read in Genesis, and we saw that Sunday night several weeks ago when we were looking at that passage where it lists all the people before him, and it says, and he died, and he died, and he died. And it gets to the seventh one. Enoch was the seventh generation, seven being the number of perfection. And it says, and Enoch walked with God and was not. You know, one minute he was on earth, the next minute he was with God. I never got into science fiction movies. I never watched Star Trek. I've never seen any of the Star Wars thing, just not so much into that. But I remember something about Star Trek. I think it was on when I was a kid. I never watched it. But there was a phrase, beam me up, Scotty, that I knew about. And some of you probably have heard that. And so I had to even look that up on the internet to make sure I had it right, because I never watched the show, so I didn't know. But they said that phrase was never literally spoken there. But the idea was when Captain Kirk gave the command that he would be just beamed back up into the spaceship there, the Enterprise there. And so he'd be translated. He was here, and then all of a sudden, he's there. Well, that's what God did to Enoch there. And one of these days, we're going to be translated. We're going to change places. We're not going to be here anymore. We're going to be with the Lord. But before that happened, it says he had a testimony. And here's his testimony in verse 5, that he pleased God. I can't think of a better testimony, can you? To please God with our lives. Unsaved people cannot please God. There's nothing they can do. They can give millions to humanitarian efforts, but that won't please God. They could even sacrifice their lives in serving other people, but that won't please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And Enoch, before he was taken up to heaven, he had a wonderful testimony, and that is, he pleased God. And then in verse 6, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That means to search out, to dig for evidence, like an investigator would be trying to solve a murder mystery, and he's looking and digging out all the evidence and checking the DNA and all of those things here. That's the way we need to search out God. We need to diligently seek God there. And as we search out God and want to know him better, we have a testimony, as Enoch did, that we can please God. Well, not only Enoch is an example, but Noah in verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen, moved with fear. Notice he moved there. We saw earlier that faith produces activity. And a person who has genuine faith, there's going to be some kind of activity that follows. There's going to be some kind of work for the Lord that he does. So Noah took God at his word. And God said, go out and build this ark, that it's going to flood, it's going to rain. And it had never done that before. There was no evidence that Noah could find that would support what God had said. But he wasn't looking for circumstantial evidence. He looked to God who made the promise, and he was moved with fear. That is, he had a reverence for God. God said it, must be true. So I'm going to act on it because God can't lie. And so he had reverence for God, but he also had a response to God. It tells us in verse 7 that after he was moved with fear, it tells us he also prepared an ark. He went out and took action. And so there is not just a mental acknowledgement that there's a God, and Jesus is his son, and Jesus died on the cross. And a lot of people believe that, especially in America. But just a mental acknowledgement that this is God's word, that God is who he says he is, and Jesus is who God says he is, and he did what God said he came to do. A lot of people believe that. But that's not salvation, just having this mental acknowledgement. There's this reverence for God and a response to God of faith that moves people with fear, with reverence, to do whatever God said. That's what Noah did. Well, Abraham did as well. The next example we see in verses 8 through 10. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. And so he obeyed. He hearkened to what God said. It says in verse 8, not knowing. And so obedience is more about going than knowing. And so oftentimes we talk about the will of God and knowing God's will, and God wants us to go. When God says go, we go. Abraham was told to go out, and he went. And we're studying that in Genesis, and we're still on Abraham. We'll be looking again tonight at Abram before he became Abraham. And so I hope you're able to be back for that tonight as we study more about Abram. But not only did he hearken to God, he headed out. It says in verse 9, by faith, he sojourned there. And so God said, I want you to go, and I'll tell you when to turn right, and I'll tell you when to turn left. I'll tell you when to stop. I'll tell you when to go forward. And of course, I'm paraphrasing all of that. And God said, go, and I will show you. And by faith, he took God at his word. God said it. I don't understand it. There's no evidence to support that it's going to work. I don't see this map of where I'm supposed to go. But I'm going to trust God and go head out and do what God says. And then in verse 10, we see also not only did Abraham hearken and he headed out, but he hoped in God in verse 10. It says, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He knew it was there. He didn't have a map of where that city was, as I mentioned. He had never seen anybody else talk about this city. He had never talked to anyone who had visited this city before, but he believed it was there. What evidence did he have? God told him, and he took God at his word and believed what God had said, and he obeyed, he headed out, and he had hope. He said, I'm going to see this city. God said it was there, and I know it's there because God said it. Well, also, Sarah. She is our fourth example of a character of faith. It says in verse 11, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. It says that she received strength. That is the word dunamis, from which we get our word dynamite, and it means ability, being able to do something, having the power or strength to do something. And notice it's passive. It says she received strength. And here she is, too old to have a child. It says she is past age here, but God said you're going to have a child. And she looked at the evidence, humanly speaking, and it's not going to happen. But she looked to God, who gave the promise, and said, forget the human evidence. God said it. It must be going to happen somehow. It says she judged God faithful here. Usually when we see the word judge, in our English Bibles. It's a translation of the Greek word krino. Means to decide. What a judge does when he has a case before him, he makes a decision, a judgment. But that's not the word that's used here. The word that's used here that's translated judge is a Greek word that means to lead or go before. So it says when Sarah believed God, had faith in him, that there was something that led her. And that was her faith here. Her faith led her in her life. And so as we live our lives by faith, and we let faith lead us and not the evidence that we see on earth, but we trust God at whatever he said, and that's what she did. She knew she was too old to have a baby, but that's human vision. God said it was going to happen, so it must be going to happen because God said it. And so we get over our limited way of thinking and believe God at what he said. Not only was she enabled, she was esteemed. It says, therefore, verse 12, therefore. And that is tied right back to verse 11, because she viewed God as able to do what God said he was going to do. Even though she wasn't physically able to have a child, God said she would. In verse 12 it says, therefore, sprang there even of one, that is of Abraham, and him as good as dead. I find a little humor in that one. Here he is so old, he's about as good as dead. He's not going to be able to have any children either because of his age. But notice what sprang from her and Abraham. As many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable there. And so there sprang from her just more than you could count the people that came from Abraham and Sarah through Isaac there, because she esteemed God faithful. The Bible says, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he reap. And so she said, God is faithful. She judged God, or she esteemed God. That led her in her faith. And because of that, God esteemed her faithful as well. In the book of 1 Samuel, remember Eli, the priest, when Samuel was being raised, and Eli had two sons, Phinehas and Hophni were the two sons there, and his sons were wicked there. And he spoke to them, but he really didn't take action against his sons. Notice 1 Samuel 2:30, what the prophet who came to Eli had to say. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house, Eli, and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honor me will I honor, and those that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. And Eli esteemed his sons higher than he esteemed God, and God condemned him for it. But Sarah esteemed God highly, and said that if God says there's going to be children coming through me, I don't see how it's going to happen with this old man that I still have, and with me being 85 years old. But God said it, and God honored. Those that honor me, I will honor. And those that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. And so she was honored. Now we see the last thing, the country of faith. It's a better country. The word better, remember, is the theme of this book of Hebrews. And verse 13, these all, the ones that we mentioned, they all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. They saw them by faith. And they were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth, For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. And so here's this country that they were searching, and it's a better country because it's not a country, it's not a city made by hands. It is a dwelling place. Verse 16 says, it's prepared by God. Jesus said that, didn't he, in John? I go to prepare a place for you. If I go, I'll come again, and I'll receive you unto myself, that where I am, in a better country, there you're going to be as well. But it's not just a better country, it is a believer's country. It's only for those of us who are saved. Verse 17 says, By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, he offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Accounting, verse 19, that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. And so here's Abraham, and he has this promise that God is going to raise up millions, as many as the stars in the sky, through Isaac. And so he says, God, you told me you were going to do this, but if I kill Isaac, then Isaac can't have children. So therefore, you must be going to raise him again because you said you were going to do it, and that's the only way I can think of you're going to do it, if you raise him up again. And that's what it tells us. That so Abraham, when he went to the mount and he was getting ready to slay Isaac, and then of course the ram was caught in the thicket and he didn't end up killing him. And so the way that Abraham thought God was going to do it was not the way God did it there. And God doesn't always do the things his way, the way we're thinking that he's going to do them. But he did have faith. He knew somehow God was going to do it. The way he thought God was going to do it was not the way God did it. But it's a believer's country. It says that he accounted that God was able, and he received him in a figure there. Today, when we trust Christ, when people today receive Jesus, and they believe that God raised him from the dead, they're receiving it in a figure, as it says here in verse 19 there. And we believe that God has gone to prepare a place for us. It's a better country. It doesn't have to be too good to be better than this old earth, does it? But it's a whole lot better. It is a believer's country. The only way that you or anyone else will ever see that country is by faith there. And so faith is the only way to get to a better country, to heaven. Faith is the only way to please God in this world, as Enoch did before his translation. He had a testimony that he pleased God. This morning, if you've never trusted Christ as Savior, that better country is not for you. It's only for those who have believed in Christ. And as we sing a hymn of invitation, if you've never trusted Christ, you have opportunity to do that, and that better country can be yours. Maybe you've already been saved, but maybe your life is not pleasing to God, and you haven't prepared for a testimony to live on after you die. We have opportunity during a hymn of invitation to make decisions, whether in our seats or here at the altar, so that we can be pleasing to God. For without faith, it's impossible to please God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the examples of faith in Scripture. Lord, help us to be one of those examples to others, that we might have a good report to those who are lost, that by our testimony, that people will know of Christ and become to know him personally as well. Lord, we thank you for the better country that you have prepared for us. But Lord, while we're here on earth, help us that we might be pleasing to you until then. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.